Ildebrando Pizzetti's setting of the De Profundis, performed by the BBC singers with conductor Owen Park. And before that, they sang Pizzetti's two choral songs and an arrangement by Clutus Gottwald of Debussy's Prelude des Pas sur la Neige. Tomorrow, in the final concert of this series from LSO St Luke's in London, Cédric Thibergien plays solo piano music by Debussy, including the second book of Images. He'll also be joined by the violinist Lorenzo Gatto and the cellist Camille Thomas in Pizzetti's piano trio. Join Fiona Talkington for that just after the 1 o'clock news tomorrow here on BBC Radio 3. Well, now it's 3 minutes past two, and this is Penny Gore welcoming you to our Thursday Opera Matinee in afternoon concert, which takes us into the deep, dark forest with a recording of Humperdinck's fairy tale opera, Hansel and Gretel, with the Royal Opera House Orchestra, conducted by Sir Colin Davis, and with a starry cast headed by Angelika Kirschlager and Diana Damrau as the mischievous siblings, who are bewitched by the sight of an alluring gingerbread house and come perilously close to losing their lives. Now, the original story is one of the dark tales of the Brothers Grimm. Humperdinck's version is a lot less visceral, perhaps because it was intended for his young nieces and nephews. Their mother, Humperdinck's sister Adelheid, wrote the opera's libretto. Act One is set in the humble home of the children. They live in the forest. They're alone and hungry, bickering as they wait for their parents to get back. And when their mother Gertrude, the soprano Elizabeth Connell, does arrive, she's furious that they've been wasting time instead of working. She threatens them with a beating, but she knocks over a precious jug of milk. In a fury, she sends the children out into the forest to look for strawberries. And while she frets about how little they have to eat, her husband, Peter, the baritone Thomas Allen, suddenly arrives back home in high spirits, laden with all manner of food. He's sold all his brooms and bought enough for a feast. But where are the children, he asks. When he hears they've gone into the forest, he turns pale. That's where the gingerbread witch lives, luring children into her house and eating them. Panic-stricken, mother and father rush out to try and bring their children home.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, 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 hey Herrchen könnt euch laben, wird ihn nicht zu essen haben. Nagen ach, die ganze Woche, 7 Tage an einem Knoch. Rallalala, rallalala, Hunger ist der beste Koch. Rallalala, rallalala, Hunger ist der beste Koch. Allein was nützt der Kommandö? Fehlt euch in Topf die Zubehör? Rallalala, rallalala, Kümmel ist mein Leitlikör. Rallalala, rallalala, Mutter, schau, was ist bescher?
Verkauf ich massenweise meine Waren. zu dem Höchsten.
Thank you.
gesinnt, ergreift sie geschwind, das arme Kuchenknuspen ergint. In dem Ofen ins Hell, schieb sie Hexen nicht schnell, dann kommen zur Stell, gebräunen das Fell. Aus dem Ofen, aus dem Ofen.
Thank you. Oh! Ich will nicht, wo bin ich zu?
Hansel and Gretel have had a lovely time in the forest, but the benevolent Sandman has made them fall asleep, and they've slumbered safely, guarded by angels at the end of the second act of Humperdinck's opera. Angelika Kirschlager and Diana Damrau are the children, and Sir Colin Davis conducts the orchestra of the Royal Opera House Covent Garden in Engelbert Humperdinck's opera. A dew fairy, the soprano Anita Watson, comes to wake the children as morning breaks. And as they're exclaiming over a strange dream they both had of angels protecting them, they suddenly notice a wondrous sight, a gingerbread house smothered in sweets and all manner of cakes and biscuits. They can't resist a furtive nibble, and as they munch, a voice rings out. It's the witch, the soprano Anya Celia. She lassoes Hansel with a rope and puts him in a cage to fatten him up, then casts a spell over Gretel with her magic wand. But the clever children trick the witch and push her into her own oven, which explodes. All the gingerbread children outside the cottage turn back into real children, and running towards the clearing come Hansel and Gretel's overjoyed parents. A lesson for all, announces Father, that no evil deed goes unpunished.
Thank you. hineingehen. Bist du bei Sinnen? Mumme, wie magst du so greis nur sein? Wer weiß, wer da drin wohl im Häuschen fein? O Seh, wie das
thank you. Thank you. Du,
Cinzia!
Happy ending for the children, if not quite so happy for the witch, to conclude Humperdinck's fairy tale opera Hansel and Gretel. In this performance from the Royal Opera House Covent Garden, Hansel was Angelika Kirschlager and Gretel Diana Damrau. Their parents, Gertrude and Peter, were Elizabeth Connell and Thomas Allen. The witch was Anya Celia. The Sandman, Pumeza Machikiza. The Dew Fairy and Echo, Anita Watson. And Echo was Eddie Nakamura and Simona Mihai. The Tiffin Boys Choir, the Tiffin Children's Chorus and the Orchestra of the Royal Opera House Covent Garden were conducted by Sir Colin Davis. Well, next week at 2, Christopher Maltman sings the title role in Alban Berg's Wozzeck. That's here in afternoon concert. And this coming Saturday, Mozart's Così fan tutte comes from the Met in New York, conducted by David Robertson. That begins here on BBC Radio 3 at 6:30.
This Sunday, travel across the continent in a series of live and specially recorded concerts. With BBC Radio 3's annual Day of Music for Holy Week. I'm Andrew McGregor. Join me for Holy Week Around Europe on Sunday afternoon from 2 on BBC Radio 3.
Well, the time now just gone 10 to 4. This is Penny Gore with Afternoon Concert. And after our opera matinee, it's back now to the Ulster Orchestra, my featured ensemble all this week for the rest of the afternoon. And performances given at the Ulster Hall last March during the orchestra's 50th anniversary season under the baton of music director Raphael Paiare. And the orchestra gave the world premiere of Piers Helliwell's Wild Flow at the BBC Proms back in 2016. And we're going to hear its first Irish performance. The composer says, Wild Flow is a sequence of 5 orchestral pieces offering a zigzag progression of mood and event. The name is to suggest a discourse of abrupt contrasts of expression. And it bears a dedication to the Ulster Orchestra and its champions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here's Halliwell's Wild Flow, written for the Ulster Orchestra and premiered by the players at the BBC Proms in 2016. We've just heard its first Irish performance, given at the Ulster Hall last March, conducted by music director Raphael Payare. And he's at the helm next in a performance from May last year of Sergei Prokofiev's Fifth Symphony, written during the Second World War, not its darkest days, but in the later part of the war, the point at which, after the huge sufferings endured by the Russian people, light was finally dawning at the end of the tunnel and victory against the Nazis was beginning to seem more than just a distant possibility. It was his first symphony for 16 years, and as it happened, the premiere of the work in Moscow in January 1945 also marked Prokofiev's last public appearance as a conductor. Grief and even despair surface from time to time throughout the four movements, but the overriding mood is one of affirmation, a conviction that whatever the terrors and sorrows of war, the optimism of the human spirit will ultimately prevail.
Thank you. Thank you.
Prokofiev's Fifth Symphony, his Opus 100, played last May in Belfast by the Ulster Orchestra, conducted by Raphael Paillare. And there's more from orchestra and conductor tomorrow, including symphonies by Brahms and Sibelius and an 18th century trumpet concerto with soloist Pacho Flores. But to end today, a Bach capriccio, courtesy of tomorrow's soloist in our lunchtime concert, the pianist and former Radio 3 New Generation artist, Cédric Thibergien. Cédric Thibergien playing the capriccio that ends Bach's Partita No. 2, BWV 826. And in tomorrow's lunchtime concert at just after one, Cédric plays the second book of Images by our man of the moment, Claude Debussy.
This is opulence on a scale I don't think I've ever seen before.
The city of light in an age of wealth.
The economy was very good. That's the reason why this country became a kind of artistic world center.
Freedom.
They experienced this liberty that they couldn't experience down in central Paris.
And innovation.
All that was to come, Ravel, Poulenc, Boulez, could never have survived without breathing Debussy's musical oxygen.
To mark the centenary of Debussy's death, BBC Radio 3 reflects on the Belle Époque. Debussy's Paris starts tomorrow at 5 o'clock and continues throughout Saturday.
Well, this is BBC Radio 3. It's 5 now and time for In Tune with Sarah Walker.
Thanks, Penny. On In Tune today, live music from the Carducci Quartet. And if it's solo cello you prefer, then stay with me to hear the cellist Gabriella Swallow, a concert for her coming up tomorrow in London, plus a few new CD recordings and birthdays to celebrate. Now, though, at 5 o'clock, it's time for the news read by Diana Speed.
Russia has demanded evidence for British claims that the Kremlin was behind the attempted murder of a former spy and his daughter in Salisbury. The Russian ambassador to the UK, Alexander Yakovlenkov, said official statements on the poisoning had been wild and based on pure assumptions. Sergei and Yulia Skripal remain critically ill in hospital. The police officer who helped them is conscious and stable. Mr. Yakovlenko has condemned Boris Johnson's comments yesterday in which he compared the World Cup to the Olympics under Hitler. The Foreign Secretary has refused to apologise. Meanwhile, Theresa May has said that Russia is a threat to the whole of Europe. She'll tell EU leaders in Brussels this evening that the Salisbury attack is part of a pattern of Russian aggression. It's emerged that the new British passport to be introduced after Brexit is likely to be printed by a foreign company. The company that makes the current version in Gateshead says it's lost the contract to a Franco-Dutch rival. The Home Office says the taxpayer will save around £120 million and create 70 jobs in Hampshire and Lancashire. A ceremony has been held at the Houses of Parliament to mark the first anniversary of the Westminster Bridge attack. 5 people were killed when Khalid Massoud drove his car into a group of people before attacking a police officer with a knife in the grounds of Parliament. A senior US trade official has said that the European Union and 6 other regions will be exempt for now from new steel and aluminium tariffs, which are set to come into force tomorrow. Last week, the EU published a 10-page list of US-made products, including bourbon and Florida orange juice, which could be targeted by retaliatory measures. Imports from other regions, such as China, will still be affected. The White House has also just announced it will impose import duties on a raft of other Chinese products. The Bank of England has left interest rates unchanged at 0.5%. The last time rates moved was in November. More rises are expected later this year. And the weather, rain in Northern Ireland and Western Scotland will move into many western and central areas during the course of the night. It'll remain dry in the extreme southeast. BBC News and weather at 5:02.
Diana Speed, thank you. Coming up in just a few minutes, Gabriella Swallow will be performing live music by Copeland. With her, the pianist Warren Maley-Smith. I'll be chatting to them about their concert at St James's Piccadilly in London. First